King Kamsa was the evil king of the Bhojaa dynasty, which ruled much of India at the time of Lord Krishna's appearance 5,000 years ago. It had been prophesied that Krishna would kill Kamsa and thus thwart the king's plans for world domination. Therefore, Kamsa called for his messenger Akrura, who was a devotee of Krishna, to go to Vrindavan and bring Krishna back to the city of Mathura, where Kamsa planned to kill him. Kamsa was so illusioned that he actually thought he could kill God. After receiving instructions from Kamsa, Akrura started the next morning via chariot for Vrindavan. Because Akrura himself was a great devotee of the Lord, while going to Vrindavan he began to praise the Lord. Devotees are always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, and Akrura was constantly thinking of Lord Krishna's lotus eyes. He did not know what sort of pious activities he must have done to gain an opportunity to see Lord Krishna. Akrura considered himself most fortunate that he was going to see Krishna, whom even great mystics and yogis desire to see. He continued to consider that formerly great sages and saintly persons were liberated from the material world simply by seeing the shining nails of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna.
That supreme personality of Godhead has now come just like an ordinary human being, and it's my great fortune to be able to see him face to face. Today it will be possible for me to actually see the beauty of the spiritual kingdom of Vishnuloka, because Krishna is the supreme Vishnu, and he has invented himself out of his own goodwill. He is the reservoir of all beauty, and therefore my eyes will be filled today.
Akrura also considered the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. He thought that the transcendental activities, instructions, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna are all for the good fortune of the people in general. The people can remain constantly in Krishna consciousness by discussing the Lord's transcendental form, qualities, pastimes, and paraphernalia. By doing so, the whole universe can actually live auspiciously and advance peacefully. But without Krishna consciousness, civilization is but a decoration for a dead body. A dead body may be decorated very nicely with jewels and ornaments, but without consciousness, such decorations are useless. Therefore, human society without Krishna consciousness is useless and lifeless. Akrura continued to think of the all-merciful Lord.
When I approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I shall stand before him with all humility and folded hands. Surely he'll be pleased with my devotional attitude. Maybe he'll smile lovingly and look upon me and thereby free me from all kinds of sinful reactions. Since Krishna knows my heart, certainly when I approach him, he'll embrace me. By his merciful embrace, my body, my heart and soul be completely cleansed of the actions and reactions of my past life. Certainly Krishna and Balaram will call me uncle, Akrura. At that time my whole life will be glorious.
In this way, Akrura meditated on Sri Krishna during his journey from Mathura. He reached Vrindavan by the end of the day. Akrura passed the whole journey without even knowing how long it took. When he reached Vrindavan, the sun was setting. As soon as he entered the boundary of Vrindavan, he saw the footprints of cows and Lord Krishna's footprints. Upon seeing the footprints of Lord Krishna, Akrura immediately jumped down from the chariot out of respect. He became overwhelmed with all the symptoms of ecstasy. He wept and his body trembled. Out of extreme jubilation upon seeing the dust touched by the lotus feet of the Lord, Arkura fell flat on his face and began to roll on the ground in spiritual ecstasy. Arkura's journey to Vrindavan is exemplary. One who intends to visit Vrindavan should follow the ideal footsteps of Arkura and always think of the pastimes and activities of the Lord. As soon as one reaches the boundary of Vrindavan, he should immediately smear the sacred dust of Vrindavan all over his body without even thinking of his material position and prestige. Actually, one cannot go to Vrindavan by purchasing a ticket. The process of going to Vrindavan is shown here by Arkura. Later, when Arkura entered the village of Vrindavan, he saw Krishna and Balaram engaged in supervising the milking of the cows. Krishna was dressed in yellow garments and Balaram in blue garments. Arkura also saw that Krishna's eyes were exactly like the beautifully grown lotus flower of the autumn season. He saw both Krishna and Balaram in the spring of their youth. Although both were similar in bodily features, Krishna was blackish in complexion, whereas Balaram was whitish. Both were the shelter of the goddess of fortune. They had well-constructed bodies, beautiful hands and pleasing faces, and they were as strong as elephants. Now, after seeing their footprints, Arkura actually saw Krishna and Balaram face to face. Although they were the most influential personalities, they were glancing at him with smiling faces. Without hesitating, Arkura immediately got down from his chariot and fell flat, just like a rod before Krishna and Balaram. Upon touching the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he became overwhelmed with transcendental bliss. His voice choked up, and he could not speak. Due to Krishna's transcendental presence, incessant torrents of tears fell from his eyes. He remained stunned in ecstasy, as if devoid of all powers to see and speak. Lord Krishna, who was very kind to his devotees, then raised Arkura with his hand and embraced him. Taking him by the hand, Krishna and Balaram brought him to their sitting room, where they offered him a very nice sitting place and water for washing his feet. After Arkura was thus properly received and seated, Nanda Maharaj, the foster father of Krishna, came in and began to talk to Arkura.
My dear Arkura, what shall I inquire from you? I know that you are being protected by Kamsa, who is most cruel and demonic. His protection is just like the slaughterhouse keeper's protection of animals he will kill in the future. Kamsa is so selfish that he has even killed the sons of his own sister. So how can I honestly believe that he is protecting the citizens of Mathura?
This statement is most significant. If the political or executive heads of state are simply interested in themselves, then they can never look after the welfare of the citizens. As Nanda Maharaj spoke to Arkura with pleasing words, Arkura forgot all the fatigue of his day's journey from Mathura to Vrindavan. Arkura was warmly received by Lord Krishna and Nanda Maharaj and offered a resting place for the night. In the meantime, the two brothers, Balaram and Krishna, went to take their supper. Arkura sat on his bed and began to reflect that all the desires which he had anticipated in coming from Mathura to Vrindavan had been fulfilled. When Lord Krishna is pleased with his pure devotee, he can offer whatever the devotee desires. But the pure devotee does not ask anything from the Lord for his personal benefit. The next morning, early, the Lord, accompanied by Arkura and Balaram, drove the chariot with great speed towards the bank of the Yamuna River. Simply by taking bath in the Yamuna, one can diminish the reaction of his sinful activities. Both Krishna and Balaram took their baths in the river and washed their faces. After drinking the transparent, crystal-clear water of the Jamuna, they took their seats again in the chariot. The chariot was standing underneath the shade of big trees, and both brothers sat down there. Akura then took their permission also to take their bath in the Jamuna. According to Vedic custom, after taking bath in the river, one should stand at least half submerged and murmur a sacred mantra. While he was standing in the river in this way, Akura suddenly saw both Balaram and Krishna within the water. He was surprised to see them there, because he was confident that they were sitting on the chariot. Confused, he immediately came out of the water and went to see where the boys were. And as he neared the chariot, he was surprised to see them sitting there just as before. When he saw them on the chariot, he began to wonder whether he had really seen them in the water. Therefore, he returned to the river. This time, he saw not only Balaram and Krishna there, but many of the demigods and all the Siddhas, Charanas, and Gandharvas. They were all standing before the Lord, who was lying down. He also saw the Seshanaga with thousands of hoods. Lord Seshanaga was covered with bluish garments, and his many necks were all white. The white necks of Seshanaga appeared exactly like snow-capped mountains. On the curved lap of Seshanaga, Akura saw Krishna sitting very soberly with four hands. His eyes were like the reddish petals of the lotus flower. He saw the four-handed Supreme Personality of Godhead smiling very beautifully. He was very pleasing to all and was looking towards everyone. He appeared beautiful with his raised nose, broad forehead, sped up ears and reddish lips. His arms, reaching to his knees, were very strongly built, and his shoulders were high, his chest very broad and shaped like a conch shell. His navel was very deep, and his abdomen was marked with three lines. His waist was broad and big, resembling the hips of a woman, and his thighs resembled the trunks of elephants. The other parts of his legs, the joints and lower extremities, were all very beautiful. The nails of his feet were dazzling, and his toes were as beautiful as the petals of the lotus flower. His helmet was decorated with very valuable jewels. There was a nice belt around his waist, and he wore a sacred thread across his broad chest. Bangles were on his hands and armlets on the upper portion of his arms. He wore bells on his ankles, and he possessed a dazzling beauty. His palms were like the lotus flower. He was still more beautiful with the different emblems of the Vishnumurti, the conch shell, club, disc, and lotus flower which he held in his four hands. His chest was marked with the particular signs of Vishnu, and he wore fresh flower garlands. All in all, he was very beautiful to look at. Akura also saw his lordship surrounded by intimate associates like the four Kumaras, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sananda, and Sanat Kumara, and other associates like Sunanda and Nanda, as well as demigods like Brahma and Shiva. The nine great learned sages were there, and devotees like Prahlada and Narada. All were engaged in offering prayers to the Lord with clean hearts and pure words. After seeing the transcendental personality of Godhead, Akura immediately became overwhelmed with great devotion, and all over his body there was transcendental shivering. Although for a moment he was bewildered, he retained his clear consciousness and bowed down his head before the Lord. With folded hands and faltering voice, he began to offer beautiful prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare